You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here comes a lightning bolt.
Charger fans are witnesses to history.
This is the Lightning Round Podcast with your hosts, Garrett Sisti and Jamie Hoyle.
Go Chargers, go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Lightning Round Podcast. Today, we are back with more draft profiles, and today we are covering the wide receivers of this 2022 draft class. We will get to them shortly, but first off, we got to give a huge thank you to everybody that joined our Discord, our Patreon, and everything else. We have a lot of names to read today, but we thank you guys so much for joining us. It's been so much fun in this Discord, being able to communicate with everybody, and I know everybody had a lot of questions about some news that broke at the Combine that we were able to get in our Discord. So we've got a lot of names to talk about, a lot of people to thank here. So thank you, everybody. Let's just go ahead and rip through these, Jamie. First off, thank you, Gaz M.
Thank you, Cardiac.
MF Ben, which is a little bit better than MF Doom. Thank you.
Jason, thank you.
Guillermo Moreno.
Miguel Tapia.
Steven Dean.
Jared Raskind.
Connor Dento.
Spencer Carpin.
It's usually F. Stanley, but today, thank you. Matthew Stably Stanley. Thank you.
Alfred McCaspick.
Christian Halstein.
Michael Aguilar.
Alex Grant.
Nathan Harrison.
Spencer Fackrell. Fackler.
Ryan Kehoe.
John Bird.
Max Cyril.
Andrew Beggs.
Matthew Mead.
Matthew Hill.
Ron Carlos Bugarin.
Peter Ramos.
Charles Michael Sinclair.
Greg with two G's at the end.
Alex McLean.
Alex Angeles.
Frank K.
Luke Corkmaz.
Brian Ma.
Neil Fleming, who gave us a really nice note, who said he's been part of our loyal Irish fan base since you were right about blowing it up for Bosa. Neil, thank you so much for listening out in Ireland. We appreciate you.
Ryan Scandura.
The next donation is from one that didn't want to be named, but we will name him anyway as the humble hidden supporter. Thank you.
Adam Grayson.
And to our next tier, thank you, Timmy Tran.
Thank you, Laurent Newell Goodwin.
And for this last tier, James Sable, thank you so much. And now we've got two very important people, our MVPs.
The first one is Jacob Rodriguez, who says, I was 14 when I first started listening around the Blow It Up for Bosa days, and I'm 20 now, so I've always associated you two with Chargers football. Thank you, Jacob. We appreciate that.
That is so sweet. It also makes us feel so old. You were listening when you were a teenager. Now you're in your 20s. That's wild. And lastly, thank you. Thank you so much, Frank Blakely, a name I've recognized for a long time. He's submitted a bunch of questions early on. So thank you, Frank and Jacob, our MVPs. Thank you, everybody else. It was a overflow of supporters this month. So thank you so much, at least this week. So thank you. Thank you. This thing has blown up more than we thought it would. So thank you, everybody, for supporting us.
The last 24 hours have been crazy. Really appreciate everybody's support in the last 24 hours and just really enjoying all the conversation. It's been really fun talking to everybody and getting to know everybody and hearing all their takes and kind of going back and forth on draft prospects and free agency and hearing even your stories about how you became Charger fans. It's all been really fun. And I think Garrett and I have probably gotten even more out of it just on a personal level, relating to you guys and getting to know you guys than we ever expected to. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a fun little space. And if you, of course, if you haven't joined in, come join the party, go be part of our Patreon over there. We've got links on all our profiles. So go do that if you aren't ready already. And now let's get into these 2022 wide receiver draft prospects. We're going to talk about the quote unquote consensus top five, and then we're going to get into some sleepers. So let's go ahead and start with the wide receiver number one on this list, not number one wide receiver. We'll talk about our top five. We'll get into that too. First one on this list is Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State.
So I really like Garrett Wilson. The things that I like about him. So let me back up. When I started reviewing the wide receivers, I was trying to focus really on three main questions. And we have a bunch of categories that we follow. But the three main questions are, does he get open? How does he get open? And does he catch the ball when he gets open? And Wilson checks all the boxes in spades. So he definitely gets open. And the way he really gets open is he runs a very diverse professional route tree. He runs pretty much the entire tree. He uses elite footwork and head fakes, shoulder fakes, stutter steps, all that stuff to get himself free to beat the press. He varies the timing of his releases and his breaks, and he knows how to use his speed to eat up cushions to set up short and intermediate routes. It seems like he creates 4 to 5 yards of separation on every single reception. The guy is always wide open with room to run after he catches the ball. Love all that about him. And the hands are fantastic. He's got some of the best hands in the class. He catches pretty much everything he can get his hands on. He'll go up for the ball and out jump corners for it. He'll dive for the ball, throw his body around. His catch radius is a little bit limited compared to some of the other wide receivers. He's not really what I would call a jump ball specialist, and I don't know that that's something that you want to ask him to do a lot of at the NFL level. But he can go up and get it. He can elevate it if he needs to. He accelerates through the catch. Wilson, I think, possesses elite contact balance and a low center of gravity and really good short area quickness. He's extremely twitchy. So Wilson is able to swivel his hips and make people miss in space. He's really good in the open field. He's elusive in tight quarters. He really checks all the boxes. I would say if you're looking for things to work on, you know, as with any college wide receiver, there's still some room to improve on the route running. He's going to need to get physically stronger. I think he's listed at about 6'1", 190-ish, somewhere in that range. He can put on some functional strength. I think he's going to have to learn to be a better and more aware blocker. And there are some instances of him trapping the ball against his body. He's a natural hands catcher, which I really like. That's something I really value when I look at wide receiver prospects. I hate guys that trap the ball against their body. He can play outside. I think he can play inside. He's so good in space that he's going to be a yak machine at the next level. there really isn't too much to quibble about with him. He's going to be a very good player, and I'm very high on him.
What is your grade?
91.
91. Whew. Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I liked Wilson. He does some of his best work in the short and intermediate areas of the field. That's where he can really separate. He was a player that the Buckeyes manufactured a lot of touches for because he's really good with the ball in his hands. He isn't really explosive in my mind, but definitely has that long speed and balance to create a lot of yards after the catch once he cuts it and goes. His hands are good. Catch radius is pretty wide as well and has really good body control. You talked about his balance. He's more of an athlete playing wide receiver right now. He uses a lot of hezzies to keep his DBs honest, but to me, there's a lot of wasted movement from that 5 to 10 yard marker. Today, you know, his route running is pretty good, but he improved his route running from 2020 to 2021. He made a big leap in that area. So he's obviously still improving, could get better in that area. I think he struggled a lot with physical corners. You talk about his physicality. He works best in space, but when pressed, he loses some of his advantage and could struggle at times. But Wilson is a outside receiver in the NFL. He could really succeed with a ton of volume in my mind, a lot of volume touches in the short intermediate parts of the field. I think, you know, with some limited playing time with Wilson, he had a ton of room to grow, especially in his routes. I think his route tree is pretty advanced, but I think, you know, it could be a little bit more crisper. But listen, he's got all the skill sets to be a wide receiver one in this league. I got an 84 at him, which is a mid-second round, but we're going to talk about a lot of these other wide receivers. This is a guy, I mean, there's not a lot you can knock on him. The hezzy moves is what gets him open a lot, those hesitations, the kind of head fakes and stuff. But to me, you know, I think if he's a little bit sharper, he can get open. And I, you know, it's a guy that I like too. And I get the grade. And I think to me, as we go through these, there's not a lot separating these five. But let's talk about this next one here. And it's Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. He is a big-bodied receiver, great acceleration. He's got the body control, balance, and big, strong hands to be a weapon in the deep passing game, especially with contested catches. He is a true weapon for Arkansas. They lined him up everywhere, and they just put the ball in his hands. They even let him return kicks and get them yards that way, too. His catch radius is crazy. He basically catches anything in the vicinity. He's also a real tough tackle as well. Burks' talent is on the rise. He's just starting to develop that toolbox, which I absolutely love about his game. I think Burks is going to need some refinement at the top of his routes. He has a great get-off, great in the middle of his routes. I think his breaks aren't always crisp, so I think he'll need to improve in that area. But Treylon Burks consistently turned nothing into something when Arkansas got the ball to him. Add the size, the body control, catch radius, growth each year. You can really see the appeal for why teams are going to draft him early. I've got an 87 on him, which is a high second. Getting close to that first round grade. I'm a big fan of Burks.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him too. I mean, you mentioned it. He's huge. He's extremely physical. He's a guy who bullies corners at the catch point. He catches, if he can reach it, he's going to catch it. And there are some balls that he reaches that he probably shouldn't reach that he catches. Just freakishly long, huge catch radius. You mentioned he's very explosive. He's also pretty elusive. His hips are pretty loose. He's good in tight quarters and in the open field. Runs like a deer in the open field. I mean, he opens up his stride and just lets go, and he runs away from people. I know he didn't run as well as people thought he would at the combine. That was surprising for a lot of people. But I think if you watch the tape, Burks is a guy who plays a lot faster than he tested. And I think that's something that carries over in the NFL. So for me, I agree with the route running. I think he took a huge leap forward in 2021. He didn't run a lot of routes in 2020. He was catching a lot of balls underneath behind the line of scrimmage. Burks was a guy who was more of a gadget player in 2020, and he took a big leap forward as an intermediate and deep route runner in 2021. Still very raw as a route runner, but he does create separation, and there's, I think, the athleticism and the agility to improve as a route runner. Speed-wise, like I said, he plays fast, plays loose, very, very twitchy. And he's extremely physical, which I like. So I really see Burks as an X receiver. He's a guy who makes plays at every level of the field. You know, he makes catches underneath, behind the line of scrimmage, intermediate, deep. He's a nightmare with the ball in his hands, like Garrett mentioned. I think, you know, if you get him the ball with those manufactured touches behind the line of scrimmage, within a couple of yards of the line of scrimmage, he's going to get you 5 to 6 yards pretty pretty consistently just because he's so tough to tackle. I have a 92 on Burks. He's actually my wide receiver one. I like him quite a bit. And I think he's a guy who might have some of the most upside of anybody in this class. There's a lot of meat left on the bone from a developmental standpoint, from an athletic standpoint, and from a route running standpoint. I think he's going to be really, really good. And a creative offensive coordinator is going to make him into a real weapon all over the field, and especially in the red zone.
All right. So let's go ahead and move on to the next wide receiver here on this list. And it is Jameson Williams at Alabama.
So Williams is another guy who's a lot of fun to watch. Explosive speed. He stretches the field like no other. He's good with the manufactured touches, elusive in space, really good in the open field, catches the ball really well. I think the thing that separates Wilson and Burks from Williams for me is I think he's really reliant on his speed to produce. I don't think he's the route runner that Wilson is right now. And I don't think he really has the feel for soft spots in the defense like Wilson and Burks have. He's obviously not only explosively fast, but he's twitchy and elusive in the open field. If he catches the ball with any kind of separation, he's probably gone. He's a lot like Jaylen Waddle on that. And that way is that if he catches the ball in the open field and you're not within a yard of him, he's probably going to run away from you and split the safeties and be gone. He's that electric with the ball in his hands and that explosive. The route running, I thought he ran a pretty limited route tree. I saw a go, a drag, a post, a flag, and the occasional quick out. It didn't really seem like he's learned to vary his releases or breaks. I thought he rushes through his double and triple moves on deep routes. It's like he's in a hurry to catch the ball, so he doesn't really sell anything, and he's just outrunning guys anyway. He does understand how to use his speed to create separation on short and intermediate routes, which is a good thing. Physicality, I think Williams is more likely to make people miss than he is to run through a tackle. He's pretty slightly built, is Williams. He'll make the occasional contested catch, but I don't think that's something that's going to be part of his game at the next level. He isn't particularly physical with the ball in the air or at the catch point. And there are flashes of him being a pretty willing blocker, so I think there's some upside for him as a blocker there. Williams is a guy who you can move all over the line and the formation. He can play outside. He can play inside. He's obviously explosively fast, like I mentioned, very twitchy, big, very dangerous in the manufactured touches and the gadget type plays. Very big, huge deep threat, easily the best deep threat in this class. I think there's still room for him to add to his route tree, add some nuance to his routes, sell some of his double moves a little bit better. But overall, I have an 89 on Williams.
Yeah, I like Jameson Williams a lot too. We actually are pretty close on the grade as well. I think Jameson is a game wrecker. He's got blazing speed. That's pretty obvious. He had the most 30-plus yard receptions in college football last year. The thing that I picked up on that I liked, and I wish he would have done a little bit more, was his tempo. I thought there was a lot of great splashes and flashes of like starting, stopping on a dime, running a route quick, and then hitting a second gear to break away. I loved where he played with DBs because he's got a speed advantage. I agree with you there that he kind of rushes it a little bit, but I think there was enough there in my mind, and I'm projecting here, that I think he can get better with his route running. Whenever he's on the field, there's no doubt that he makes a defense nervous. You have to account for Williams at all times. He's a speed demon on offense, so whether he has the ball or not, defenses are always on their heels just waiting for Williams. He has pretty good hands, made some tough catches with good control and balance. Even though he showed good hands, he body catches it a little bit too often. With some more consistency, I think he'll be fine. And he was a dangerous return man as well at Alabama. The two major issues for me with Williams are the ACL tear, which obviously is a shame. Would have loved to see him test at the combine, but apparently he's ahead of schedule on his recovery, and that shouldn't limit his game long term. The other one is what you mentioned. That's the frame. He's lean right now. He gets hurt. It really hurts him in press man. But even though, and he, you know, even though he's more of a straight line route runner, I think he showed enough that he can do more with his routes. I mean, Jameson Williams is a home run hitter. Which, whenever he touches the ball, he's an explosive weapon for any team's offense. I have an 88, so we're right there in the neighborhood, which is a high second round grade for Jameson Williams. I like him a lot, and I think there's a lot of room to grow there, and probably one of the more explosive weapons of this class. So I'm a big fan of Williams.
Yeah, I would say he's the most explosive weapon of the class for sure. One of the things that downgraded him for me, I mentioned the route running. You mentioned that he's a body catcher. He's a big time trapper, and he got away with it in college. But there were also lots of instances where guys were getting inside his frame, and he was juggling and almost dropping balls that he was trapping on deep throws. And I think that's something that, as he deals with bigger, more physical corners, that's something that is going to probably lead to more drops in the NFL and a lot of frustration, because he just isn't very physically strong and he can't really keep guys out of his frame. So if he's catching the ball against his frame and he's letting corners into his frame, I think that's going to hinder his ability to make some of those contested catches and come down with some of those deep balls, unless he's just flat out running away from people, which he does quite a bit. So that's why he gets away with it. But
yeah, he has no problem doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's move on. Yeah, I like Williams. So let's move on to the next wide receiver on this list, which is Drake London, the wide receiver at a USC. He's got the desirable frame. He's a tall and lengthy wide receiver. Even though he's a bigger wide receiver, he lined up outside and got some effective routes inside, reps inside too. He is one of the better receivers that contest the catches in this class. He is great at plucking the ball at his highest point with strong hands, has a knack for making tough catches in traffic. London is really good in zone. He kind of finds and picks his spots to get open. He showed above average acceleration, but is not really the athlete like a lot of these other receivers in this class. And he isn't much of a downfield threat, which is why he makes a lot of catches in traffic. The biggest issue for me is that he doesn't consistently get separation, which is why a lot of his catches are in a crowd. He kind of puts himself in that predicament a little bit too often for my taste. Drake London has the ball skills to be a real good red zone weapon, a move the chains type receiver on money downs. I've got him with an 85. A lot of people have him as wide receiver one. He is not my wide receiver one. I just don't think there's enough separation there he showed in college. How do you feel about London?
We're on a very similar wavelength. And I'm not entirely surprised, to be honest with you. so, you know, I mentioned earlier, does he get open? How does he get open? And does he catch the ball? So, and you picked up on something that I picked up on, which is when he is creating separation, he is not actually creating separation. His routes are taking him into soft spots in the zone where they're not playing him man to man. That's usually when he's wide open, quote unquote, is because he's running a deep out or a post or a deep in or some kind of an over route, and the corner isn't running with him, and he's between the corner and the safety, and he's found a void in the defense, and he's massive, so you can't miss him, and he looks wide open, but he's not getting himself open. He's being schemed open in those situations, and I don't know that you can count on those as much moving forward. Yes, he's catching a lot of jump balls. Yes, he's extremely physical, which NFL teams are going to love. He's a big dude. He runs well for his size. He has ridiculous body control for a guy his size, and he's got a great catch radius, and he's really good in the red zone. Those are all pluses for him. But against press man coverage, he's catching a lot of jump balls because he has to, because he can't get open. And this is the same conversation we had with Mike Williams when they drafted him. Same exact situation. He's big bodied. It's like, oh my God, he's a matchup nightmare. You can't cover the guy one-on-one. Well, yeah, you can if it's press coverage. He just looks really good against zone. So those throws get taken away more and more at the next level. He's not somebody that I would want to take as a wide receiver one. I think, you know, he's a good possession receiver. He's probably not going to be the deep threat that he was in college. He's not going to create a lot of separation. He's Mike Williams to me. He's maybe a slightly faster Mike Williams. And I think his grade is similar to the one that I had for Williams when he came out in the draft. He's your intermediate physical catch guy in the middle of the field. He might help you split the safeties. He'll body up a safety and go up and get the ball. but he's not going to outrun people. He's not going to burn people with his route running. It's just not who he is. So I have an 87 on London, which is not to say that I don't like him. It's just that I don't think people are properly contextualizing the jump balls that he's made, jump ball catches, the contested catches that he makes, and why he has to make them. So I would not be in a hurry to draft him. However, I could see the Chargers drafting him if he falls to 17, because he's like the exact mold of a wide receiver that the Chargers absolutely love. So I could totally see that if things don't go their way in the draft and some of the defensive linemen and edge players and corners are gone and tackles are gone and he's sitting there, I could totally see the Chargers taking Drake London, because he's exactly what they look for in a wide receiver. I just don't think it's something that, and we're going to be right back in the same situation we are with Mike Williams right now. Same exact situation.
Yeah, exact. Yep. No, I hear you. Yes, this is not the new NFL, might I add, where everybody's getting faster and more explosive while the Chargers are drafting more jump ball guys who can't separate. So last of the five wide receivers here, it's the other Ohio State wide receiver. It's Chris Olave.
Yeah, I really like Chris Olave. He's a guy who I think offers a lot. He is a fantastic route runner. He didn't run quite as fast at the combine. He ran a 4.39 at the combine. I think people were expecting him to run more in the low 4.3s, but he's explosively fast. Olave has quick hips, quick feet, very twitchy. He's able to make people miss in space. He's actually been pretty productive on jump balls, even though I don't think that's something you're going to want to ask him to do at the next level. He is incredibly aware of what's going on around him. He extends routes into the voids and zone defenses to create big plays. Olave works back to the ball when his quarterback is in trouble. He knows exactly where he is on the field at all times. He runs professional, nuanced routes that combine elite footwork, loose hips, and changes in tempo. He runs a full route tree, which I love. He makes plays at all three levels of the field. He can be very effective in both the gadget portion of the playbook, as well as making plays downfield, in the middle of the field, underneath. He does it all. The hands are really good. He's got outstanding hands. Olave, I think, is right up there with London and Burks in terms of being a natural hands catcher. He almost always extends away from his body to catch the ball. He rarely, if ever, lets a ball get into his pads. And for a guy who's only 6 foot, he's got a pretty surprising catch radius. From a physicality standpoint, I think where he's going to get knocked is he's pretty small. I think he's like 6 foot, 180, 190. And he looks smaller than that. And I don't know that there's much room for projection in his frame. He's pretty easily disrupted by contact at the top of his route. And I have some concerns about his ability to hold up against bigger, more physical corners on the outside. I think Olave is a true weapon. He's a guy who makes plays all over the field, but excels in the deep passing game, runs a full route tree, very nuanced as a route runner, very polished, understands how to get open. I love the way he catches the ball. Very dangerous in the open field, thanks to his hips, his electric speed, and his ability to string cuts together. I really like Olave. I have a 90 on him.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I like him a lot too. And I think I mispronounced his name. I know it's Olave. I don't know what I said earlier, but yeah, I mean, he's one of the best route runners of this wide receiver class while having one of the more expanded route trees of the other draft participants. He's smart when going against zone, using every spot on the field while also eating up yards quickly as a vertical threat. Not only is his footwork clean, but he beats guys with tempo, accelerating off the line. He's a natural hands catcher, which, you know, we both love, and a great ball tracker when it's in the air. Olave is quick too when he gets the ball. It's like off to the races, but there's also no loss of speed when he catches the ball too. Everything is very smooth and quick whenever he has the ball. He was a key special teams player for the Buckeyes as well. I think the size is a question for a lot of people. You'll probably need to add some muscle, become a little bit more physical, but Chris Olave is a Z in the NFL with high football acumen at receiver, silky smooth route running, strong hands, has some juice, 86 for me. Big fan of Olave. We're close there. I like him a lot. So those are the five. Let's just jump right into our sleepers here. Jamie, who do you have as your first sleeper?
So my first sleeper is Sky Moore.
We agree there.
So Moore is a guy who I really enjoyed watching, and I enjoyed watching him because of the ways that he goes about getting open. He uses great footwork in his routes. His hips are really loose. He's able to change tempo to set up his routes and his breaks. He's on the smaller side, but he uses pretty much every inch of his frame to his advantage. Moore is also an active blocker. He's frequently found 10-plus yards downfield, blocking ahead of running plays. He slips through press coverage, gaining clean inside releases. If he catches the ball on a slant and you're trailing him, look out. He's probably gone. He's twitchy and explosive in the open field, knows how to get to daylight, and he's ultra competitive with the ball in the air, and especially in his hands. Moore right now doesn't run a full route tree. He probably only runs about 4 to 6 routes, but he runs them all really well. And the progression in his route running from 2020 to 2021 suggests that he's going to be a high level route runner at the next level, probably sooner rather than later. So I'm not overly worried about his route running. He creates easy separation in the intermediate game and shows the ability to run away from defenders on the deep ball. Moore slips through. I mentioned he slips through press coverage like grease lightning. He's got good sink in his hips and gets in and out of his breaks quickly. He doesn't have what I would call elite speed, but he's fast and he plays fast and he's really tough to run down in the open field. He's got a really good second gear at the top of his routes as well, and he can string cuts together in the open field. He was a yak machine in college and probably will continue to be a yak machine at the next level just because of how fluid he is as an athlete. Moore is also a natural hands catcher, rarely catches the ball without extending or plucking. He catches pretty much everything thrown his way. He attacks the middle of the field with aggression and routinely takes on defenders for contested catches. He's surprisingly physical for a guy his size, very willing and physical blocker, throws his body around underneath and in the middle of the field. And will take on defenders to fight for yardage. And he isn't too easily disrupted by grappling with the ball in the air. Moore is just a really fun watch. I think he checks pretty much all the boxes for a guy that you'd want to take in the mid to late second round. He might go a little higher because he tested pretty well, but he's going to be a route runner. He's got great hands. He makes plays at all levels of the defense. He's great in the gadget portion of the playbook as well. He's a very aware blocker. He's pretty physical as a blocker. I think you can pair this kid from a Chargers perspective. You could pair him with Keenan Allen for a year or two, and my God, he's going to be a freakish route runner, and he's going to be making plays all over the field. So I love Moore. I have an 85 on him, which is a mid-second round grade. I could see him even going a little bit earlier just based on the way he tested, but he is a really fun watch. He's an electric receiver, and I think there's still the arrow is pointing up for him as a route runner and a playmaker.
Oh, we agree there. We have the same sleeper, Sky Moore, one of my favorites too. Obviously blew up the combine, so I'm going to get a lot more run when the draft is here. But yeah, I mean, he has experience lining up in the slot and out wide. He is a smooth runner. He is deceptively fast. Routes are clean, real commodity when you get the ball in his hands. And he's a player still learning the position. He played QB in high school, also some DB, only played wide receiver the last 3 years. He's really physical for his size. He measured a 5'9", 195, but he is a fiery competitor when the ball is in the air, when DBs are attempting to tackle him, and as a blocker. I've seen some talk about problems about getting off the line with press coverage, but he's got a really good get off and good hands to combat that press man. So I don't really buy all that. The downside is the size, obviously, and he's probably going to get pegged as a slot receiver, even though he played both. But I'm not concerned with the size because his footwork is so good and he fights for the ball in the air. The more I watched Sky Moore, it kind of reminded me of Golden Tate in that he's physical at the catch point, can kill you deep, has footwork to get separation in his route running. I like him a lot. I've got an 83, so we've both got a second round grade on him, and he might go higher, but I love him in that mid second round.
Yeah, he's really good. He's a guy who I think offers a lot of value. If you get it, if you can get him in the mid second round, he's going to probably outperform his draft spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's going to be a big value pick. So I'll go ahead and list my next sleeper. So, you know, I was thinking Sky Moore, more the day two sleeper. I wanted to get kind of deep because there's a lot of like big names throughout the combine, but I found a day three sleeper that I think has some good value, and that is Khalil Shakir out of Boise State. He's really versatile, played outside, inside, has some returner experience. He's a really smart operator on the football field, and he's a really tough receiver like Sky Moore while being kind of a slight wide receiver at 6 foot, 196. Shakir is always geared up with soft hands, great route running. His body control and concentration makes him really good whenever the ball is thrown his way. He does some of his best work in zone. He always finds that open area. And Boise State put the ball in his hands a lot because he can make guys miss. He isn't a burner, but he's really shifty with the ball. He gains most of his separation with his route running. And the frame is the downside because he's both skinny and short. But he's obviously got a frame that he could build on. Khalil Shakir is probably a Z receiver in the NFL. Will probably drop into day three, with a lot of these wide receivers testing through the roof and the concerns with the size. But he's a crafty route runner with his excellent hands, footwork, and football IQ. Plays tougher than his size. Will get you every yard he can on the field. I've got a 71, which is a low third round grade from me, but a guy that I think adds a lot of value in day three.
So my second sleeper is Jalen Tolbert from Southern Alabama.
Okay.
I thought he was a really fun watch. He's a guy who looks like an X receiver in the NFL to me. He has the size, the speed, and the hands to make plays at all levels of the defense. He's really good at locating, tracking, and adjusting to the ball in the air. Tolbert is a natural hands catcher who routinely high points the ball. He has the speed to stretch defenses deep and the agility and above average route running to be effective in intermediate routes. Tolbert accelerates quickly, is able to run away from defenders. There are times when he can struggle catching the ball outside of his frame, so he'll have to work on that. And usually that's if the timing of the play is off or the throw, it's a poorly thrown ball below his waist where he has to reach down for it. It can be difficult for him to adjust his body and get down for it. Still some meat on the bone from a route running standpoint, some room to develop, and he needs to eliminate some of the concentration drops that I saw on tape. I have a 79 on Tolbert. I think he's a guy who's probably going to be a third or fourth round pick. So a good day three sleeper. He's 6'3", 190. I think he ran a 40 in the mid 4.4s at the combine, but he plays a lot faster than that on tape. And he's a guy that Southern Alabama force fed the ball to. He got the, you know, he was part of the jet sweep game, part of the reverse game. He got the manufactured touches on the bubble screens and the tunnel screens. He got the deep ball, the jump ball, the intermediate. He made plays all over the field, and they just force fed it to him over and over with a lot of success. His best tape actually was against Tennessee this year, where he put up some really big plays, but he's constantly separating deep. He makes plays in the middle of the field. Just a lot of fun to watch, and a guy who, you know, if you're, now that they've re-signed Mike Williams, and you're not looking for, you know, an immediate X receiver, you know, he's a guy who you could slot in as maybe a long-term replacement or an immediate replacement for Jalen Guyton. He's a better athlete than Guyton. He isn't as fast straight line as Guyton, but he's twitchier than Guyton is. He catches the ball better than Guyton is, and he's a better route runner than Guyton. So you could look for an upgrade in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about our top receivers. Let's do a top 10. Let's start from 10, work our way up. Of all the guys you watched, give me your top 10 receivers of this class.
Okay. So my number 10 is Alec Pierce from Cincinnati. I have a grade of 80 on him. My number 9 is Calvin Austin from Memphis with an 82. Christian Watson, somebody we've talked about on the Discord who almost made my sleeper list. He's my number 8. I think he's a guy who's probably going to go in the second round. I have a grade of 83 on him. I could see teams having a higher grade, but I have a low second round grade on Christian Watson just based on what I saw on tape. My number 7 is Sky Moore. My number 6 is Jahan Dotson from Penn State. Drake London is my number 5. Jameson Williams is my number 4. Chris Olave is my number 3. Garrett Wilson is my number two, and Treylon Burks is my number one.
All right. So number 10 for me is David Bell. Nine is Calvin Austin, a guy you mentioned. Number eight is Christian Watson. Seven moving up is Sky Moore. And I have a tie at number five, Jahan Dotson and Drake London. But I've got Drake London as my number six, and I gave Jahan Watson or Dotson the lift up there at five with an 84. Number four is Garrett Wilson with an 85. Chris Olave is my number three with 86. Treylon Burks, 87, number two, which means my number one wide receiver, surprisingly to me as I graded him out, was Jameson Williams with an 88, which means I've got six wide receivers all separated by a single point in my grade. Oh, no, make it seven because Sky Moore is an 83. I have seven wide receivers, my top seven wide receivers, separated by 1 point. I could easily see why these guys can be interchanged at any moment.
Yeah, and just to go over my grades again, Burks is a 92, Wilson is a 91, Olave at 3 is a 90, Williams at 4 is an 89, London at 5 is an 87, and I have Moore and Dotson both with 85s at 6 and 7. And then I mentioned Christian Watson with an 83, Calvin Austin with an 82, and Alec Pierce with an 80. That rounds up my top 10.
Yeah. There's a lot of, and I know Mike Williams just got re-signed while we're doing this podcast, but there's a lot of speed. The Chargers now need speed. That's pretty obvious. And so round one, obviously, you've got Jameson Williams, Treylon Burks, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, all those kind of weapons. I love getting a guy like Sky Moore in round two, maybe even Jahan Dotson if he drops. And then guys like Calvin Austin, Christian Watson in round three, maybe not drop, but that's kind of where I've got them close to graded. There's some speed there in every round in the first 2 days.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of speed, a lot of guys who can make plays both outside and in the slot. Thinking specifically of Moore and Dotson and Austin later on in the draft. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a big bodied X receiver, guys like Watson and Pierce could be solid day two, day three picks mm-hmm. as developmental deep threats and possession receivers. Lots of ways you can go, but they definitely need speed, and they don't just need speed. It's not just the straight line. I need a runway to run a 4.2 40.
Right.
They need
not
twitch.
The 40 time.
Yeah. They need twitch. They need explosiveness, something they lack.
And yards after catch.
Yep. Yards after catch, elusiveness in space. They don't have any of that. So
no,
that's where they need to focus. Having re-signed Mike Williams, they need to find a way to get the ball into the hands of guys who can, tap dance, jitterbug, make people miss, explode up field, turn a catch, a yard behind the line of scrimmage into a 10-yard play.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to join our Patreon, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe to the podcast, all that. I am at GearCity on Twitter. Jamie?
@lightning_round.
And we will see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.